The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
This is a very special invitation that you're receiving, but it's not one that's magic. It requires your participation. And if you participate with your whole heart, you're not going to be the same person that you are right now today.
It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I am very grateful to spend my afternoon with you. If you missed any of our conversation today, it's all going to be online for you. You can check out our podcast, and I hope you'll follow our podcast. I hope you'll share them with others. We talked about the Nephilim and the Anakim and the giants of the Old Testament, even a little bit of the biblical flood. Check that conversation out right after the chaplet or any of the wonderful discussions we've had all week. You can get the podcast for the Drew Mariani Show anywhere podcasts can be downloaded. And of course, relevantradio.com is a good place to go to and tell others about the show. It's always good to expand our family here. You know, on Sunday, on the 28th, normally we'd be celebrating the feast of St. Louis de Montfort. And the 18th, I'm not sure if you're even familiar with him. I have great devotion to him. I think he's a powerful saint. He was a 18th century French priest who became known for his devotion and his writing to Mary. And if you've ever made a Marian consecration, and I have, if you haven't, I would recommend you do. He is a go-to guy to read. But during the time he lived, a little historical perspective, France was, it was in turmoil. Actually, more than that, it was really in spiritual turmoil, if you think about it. Our own times are in spiritual turmoil, too. But there was a heresy called Jansenism that was making its way through parts of Europe, especially southern France, where Louis de Montfort was from. And that heresy was an attempt to understand the interactions of God's grace and human free will, especially as understood by St. Augustine, but it ended up sounding like a recycled Pelagianism, that God's grace is infused in us when and only when we are completely worthy of it. And because we can never be worthy of it, we can never be worthy enough to receive communion. And that's actually the origin of the church's command that we have got to go to confession at least once a year to receive communion at least once a year. And receive, I should say, communion once a year. But Father Louis de Montfort taught a little differently. He taught along with the church that God's grace is freely given. Right? It is freely given to all of us. And that we have free will. We have the free will to either accept it or to reject it. And I always marvel at how many people reject it. And because of his position on this, and this was radical, he was mocked. You know, especially in his local area. So St. Louis' mission was mainly to the poor, to the uneducated, who found great inspiration and hope in what he said. And it was freeing to hear that they could receive God's love, they could obtain his grace, especially through Mary. And I thought we'd talk a little bit today about Marian devotion, about total consecration, something that he preached. He preached and he taught a method of true devotion to the Mother of God that involved consecration to Jesus, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, through our Blessed Mother. And I'll tell you what, when you entrust yourself to the Mother of God, great things happen. I'm joined right now by Barb Ernster. She is Communication Director for the World Apostolate of Fatima and the Blue Army. She's been a longtime friend of the show, has a deep love for Louis de Montfort and Marian consecration, and she joins us right now. Barb, good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew. I will say happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
I'll give you a little bit of advice. Stop celebrating them after age 50 and keep you young.
That's so true. I was trying to keep it on the down low here. I was trying not to, say anything about it, but... You know, I guess my call screener is letting the cat out of the bag. Is it Patrick that's telling everybody? I guess he is. Hey, let's pick up on de Montfort. I mean, I don't even know where to start. He's so rich, so deep. There's so much to get into with him. I actually tried doing his Marian consecration several times. It was really difficult, and I kind of failed until Father Michael Gately took him, along with Mother Teresa and John Paul II and Maximilian Kolbe, and did his consecration, and then I was able to navigate that. But there's he was a real visionary on so many different fronts. I know you got a love for him. Introduce those who are listening to this great saint.
Well, I did his consecration years ago. I might have been in my late 20s, early 30s, and I totally didn't. I maybe understood a little bit of what I was doing. Then I did it again, and I'm ready to do it again because the more I read his book, True Devotion to Mary, and the more I feel it's very tied to the Fatima message too. This devotion to Mary, what God wants to do with that in us is so powerful during these times in particular. And I just feel St. Louis de Montfort's works are flourishing now at the time when we really need them. You know, he preached in the 1600s and they died in 1716 and on August 28th. And it was almost exactly 200 years before the Angel of Peace appears to the children at Fatima in the spring of 1916. And I always say, I think Louis de Montfort was jumping for joy in heaven that the Mother of God herself was going to come and teach us in a simple way what he was preaching. Now, what he teaches goes way deeper than what Mary taught the little children at Fatima, but they reach the highest levels of holiness by doing what she asked them to do in a very short time. And that's exactly what he promises us, that this true devotion to Mary is a way to holiness that is short, sure, easy, and perfect.
Yeah.
That's what he was teaching. And he really understood Mary at a really deep level. So, and he writes for simple people. That's why I like his work.
What introduced him to Our Lady? I mean, I know he was kind of revolutionary, and that's one of the first to understand, you know, true devotion to our Lord through Mary. And what a super highway to holiness and to our Lord. What was it that went ahead and brought about this revelation to him?
I'm not sure. He just started developing. He had developed this vast collection of writings that on Mary, and I think it just started developing into this program of 33 days of preparation. I'm sure it was God and the Holy Spirit and Mary herself who were leading him, and eventually he develops this program, and he takes it out to all the, you know, the poor people, the uneducated, the ones out in the rural countryside. And, you know, he was rejected by a lot of his fellow clergy, his people in the hierarchy. They rejected him because he took on such radical levels of poverty. And he was navigating church authority like so many of us do nowadays anyway. I mean, you're always going to have that authority and obedience. At one point, he walked all the way to Rome to ask the Pope if he should be stopping this, and he sent him back to France and told him to keep going.
Wow.
I mean, that's in a very simple way, the struggles he was having. But he reached these people that in the rural areas, the people that were not esteemed, and many of these parishes began to flourish because of him. They were so happy to hear that they could actually, you know, that they were good enough to be able to receive God's grace and they could grow in holiness. So, I mean, how many of us don't feel good enough these days? And I think that's why St. Louis de Montfort, his works are timeless, and you know, we can really learn from him and learn from Mary. That's what he wants us to really know, the heart of Mary.
I love it. I know he was a priest who was passionate about the rosary. He preached the rosary, the importance of turning to Our Lady to grow closer to Christ. His seminal work, if anyone wants to read it, it's called True Devotion to Mary. And I'll tell you what, it will be life-changing. John Paul II did this, I believe, when he was working in those quarries in Poland. He fell in love with Our Lady, and his motto was Totus Tuus. In the end, True Devotion outlines a path of spirituality that has inspired so many different souls to consecrate themselves to Mary fully and without reserve. Mother Teresa was another one who did this. So what is Marian consecration, you might ask? And Barb, we can talk about this because I think it's critical. We know we consecrated, fulfilled Our Lady request that the world be consecrated, Russia in particular, to her Immaculate Heart. But essentially, Marian consecration is giving oneself entirely to Mary, giving her your graces, your merits, your good works, to be brought into the deepest union with her Son. And he described it as the surest, the easiest, the shortest, the most perfect means to become a saint. And every morning I renew my consecration to Our Lady, who brings me to her Son. And I think it's such it's a beautiful spirituality. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit more.
Well, it's a spirituality that calls us to be true in our devotions, that they should flow from our heart, that we should do what we do for Our Lady because of our esteem for her and that our love for God. We're not seeking anything for ourselves. I mean, many of us pray and we petition the Lord, but sometimes Marian devotion can be, you know, you pray to her when you want something, and then when you get it, you forget about her. This is calling us to a more consistent, deeper level of devotion that we work on every day. And it calls us to look at the areas we need to be purified of, because St. Louis de Montfort, you know, talks about that it should, it's a pathway to holiness. It should lead us to avoid sin and to imitate the virtues of the Blessed Virgin, particularly her profound humility. So when we're imitating her virtues, we're working on those areas of pride. When we're imitating her virtue of lively faith, we're working on those areas where we don't have faith, where we doubt and we don't trust. You know, she has, like, I think there's about 10 different virtues that he teaches you about in his works. And all of these are ways that we are going to sanctify ourselves. And he's also trying to teach us that our devotion should be constant, and it's to confirm us in good. We shouldn't easily abandon our spiritual exercises. We should be working always, every day, working toward that holiness in us and reaching the state of being a true disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what ultimately Mary's trying to lead us to.
All right, Barb, let's grab a few telephone calls. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Frank is in Orlando. He's got a comment for you. Hi, Frank.
Drew, yes, this is a great time to call. I have a tremendous devotion to Mary, and every time you discuss her, it touches my heart. You have touched my heart in many ways over the last several years. I not only have a devotion to Mary, I have a devotion to Mariani, especially on his birthday. So happy birthday, Drew, from Frank in Orlando.
Yeah, no, it's John Littell. I can tell your voice for sure. Dr. John Littell. Hey, Doctor, thank you so much for calling in. It's so good to hear so many of the regular contributors to the network calling in and wishing me happy birthday. I love it. And I'm grateful for all that you've done for us over the years as well. It's good to have you here with us. And thanks for the birthday wishes. You have deep devotion to Our Lady in your practice? Do you bring it into your practice as well?
You have no idea. And I just hired a nurse practitioner who's equally as devoted. And you know what this gentleman has done, Daniel? He carries his rosaries in his white coat, and he'll hand the little rosaries to everyone that comes in. That's not even non-Catholics. He tells the non-Catholics, he says, each bead, I just want you to say Jesus, 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 Jesus on each of the beads. So, you know, I have been blessed, you know, in so many ways as a Catholic physician. I have to tell people, if they don't have the app, the Relevant Radio app, and if they don't listen to, like, the Divine Mercy Novena that you do with Maggie. I mean, that is my saving grace. When I leave the office at home, I put that on. It's 7 minutes. And so you have blessed me in many ways, Drew. I can't tell you.
Well, thank you for the kind words. I mean that. I'm grateful for your friendship too, Doctor. Thanks so much for calling in and for what you do in your practice. Great to have you.
I'm here for you anytime. God bless you. Happy birthday.
You. Thank
and
you.
Keep talking about Mary.
You guys. It's Dr. John Littell. I think everyone, I hope everyone has a devotion to our Lady. Barb, I know you do with Fatima. I always had a deep devotion to Our Lady, and I found that she helped speed me along the path to holiness, to her son. That's ultimately, you know, where we want to be. We want to be in the embrace of our Lord. This whole idea of Marian consecration and devotion to Our Lady, I guess, could be confusing. Some people say, and maybe you can address this, why go to Our Lady? Why do I need to consecrate myself to the Virgin Mary? Why is Marian consecration as important? Why don't I just go right to Jesus, consecrate myself to him?
Well, you really are consecrating yourself to Jesus, and Mary is the pathway to show you how. I mean, she's the most perfect disciple. She's the masterpiece of grace. She's a human being like us, and so to look to her, that God would give us this mother who was his own creature, and she's showing us. And, you know, the pathway is through her heart. She says, at Fatima, my immaculate heart will be your refuge, the way that will lead you to God. And what does St. Louis de Montfort say? He said, God wishes that his holy mother should be at present more known, more loved, and more honored than she has ever been. And it's because she's going to take us to Jesus. She's going to keep us on the path. And I think that's what my Marian devotion has done for me. It's kept me on the path. And I have to say, when you're kind of falling away from the path, you're not saying your prayers. I can say, if I'm not saying my prayers or doing my devotions or not getting to Mass as regularly as I should, I'm like a little red balloon that's floating off into the sky, and I'm becoming untethered. Yeah. And so when I'm doing the devotion, when I'm staying close to the rosary, doing the First Saturday devotions, all these things keep me tethered to Our Lady, It keeps me focused on Christ. And that's what she's trying to do. She wants us to be holy apostles that she can use here on earth. And, you know, St. Louis de Montfort talks about the power and the way that God is going to use these holy souls, you know, in the world, and the glory they're going to bring to God. And it's because Mary has, she's becoming our teacher. You know, St. John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great, he said that, you know, this is, we're learning from this, this is the school of Mary when we're learning from her Immaculate Heart. Yeah. And he himself had to read St. Louis de Montfort a couple of times before he really understood what this was, what this was calling us to. Right. So it takes some time to grow in it and understand it. But even on the simplest level,
yep,
you know, we're getting stuff from her, and then it teaches us and we grow.
Well, my guest today, Barb Ernster from the Blue Army, from the World Apostle of Fatima, we're talking about St. Louis de Montfort, Marian consecration, and so much more. His feast day is coming up. It's normally celebrated on the 28th of April, now just a few days away. And St. Louis de Montfort is one of these powerhouse saints. And, you know, his teaching extends beyond teachings on Marian devotion, too. He was really a prophetic voice, one that spoke of the times when his works would be nearly forgotten. And I love this. I think all these great works of God, Satan hates. He wants to bury. He wants to attack. He wants to distort. He predicted that his writings on Our Blessed Mother would be hidden from the world's eyes for a time, only to emerge with greater impact in the latter days. And I think they were hidden for like 100 years or something like that. They were found in an old chest. Here's what he said. He said, towards the end of the world, Almighty God and His Holy Mother are to raise up saints who will surpass in holiness most other saints. What a prophecy, right? What an unbelievable prophecy. How do you interpret that, Barb? Are these the times that Louis de Montfort had envisioned? And what do you make of the, I think saints know saints, you know? I think that's clearly the case. But are we living in the times he predicted? It's a question that stirs the heart and challenges, you know, I think spiritual complacency in the hearts of a lot of people.
Well, I truly believe that we are living through these latter days that he talks about, and that's why his works are flourishing so much, and why Our Lady came to Fatima. They kind of go hand in hand. I mean, they're, you know, in the mid 1800s, his book is found in this old chest. His order of priests, who had suffered so much persecution during the French Revolution, they start to bring this back out. I don't know if many people remember the first printing of his book. It was a little orange book. Some people maybe still have it on their libraries. It was a little orange book, and it was going around in the, you know, in the early 40s and 50s. But it's just been getting so much more legs during the 20th century. And then of course Saint Maximilian Kolbe also comes along and teaches a way of Marian consecrations. And so you got Fatima, you got Saint Maximilian Kolbe, you got the Legion of Mary begins, and you got all these different Marian devotions that start to take off, and then Saint Louis de Montfort's works. All of it's working together during these times because God wishes to establish in the world devotion to His Holy Mother. That's what He tells us at Fatima. Yeah. And what does St. Louis de Montfort say? I love this quote. I feel a tremendous urge to make our Lord and His Holy Mother loved, to go in a humble and simple way to teach catechism to the poor in country places, and to arouse in sinners a devotion to our Blessed Lady. So He's being led by the Holy Spirit 300 years ago, and now is the time when we are facing unprecedented evil in this great spiritual battle, and Mary's here helping us stay true to the course.
My guest today, Barb Ernster, if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. I'll grab a couple calls in a minute. I wonder about the times in which we live. I do. I mean, Fatima, this whole period of Marian apparitions, I mean, they're unprecedented. Fatima being perhaps the greatest of the 20th century, its prophecy coming true in vivid details. And yet you got saints that far precede Fatima, like St. Louis de Montfort, who made predictions like he did. And I think the resurgence of interest, not only in his work, in Marian devotion, in Marian consecration amongst the faithful today, suggests that we might be living in the times envisioned by St. Louis de Montfort. And his prophecies, his teachings, I think they urge us not just to observe from afar, but really to participate very deeply in spiritual renewal. It's a call to arms, if you will, a spiritual battle that requires us to have the grace that's found in Marian devotion. Our Lady came and said that the Second World War did not have to happen, right, Barb? And yet we failed to, I think, adequately respond, and we saw the horrors of the 20th century and everything she predicted, the spread of atheistic communism, the Holy Father having much to suffer. There's one aspect of that, and you and I have talked about it in the past, but maybe we could talk about it now, because I heard that Vladimir Putin has drawn kind of a red line. The president of Poland has spoken about putting nuclear weapons, in his country. And I think of the third secret of Fatima, or the third part of the secret of Fatima, and some of the things about the annihilations of nations that we have yet to see. What do you think of the times in which we are living, in light of Louis de Montfort, in light of the Fatima message, in light of some of the prophecy that some could argue has yet to be fulfilled, like the annihilation of nations, and how important consecration is in that? Because not only did John Paul II do it, but Francis did it after Russia went into Poland.
I just feel like we have an opportunity to be participating with God right now, and to be, bringing about peace and stopping major events like this from happening. But, all we ever see in the news and on the top is the sin and all the protests at the campuses, all the things going on in our laws here in Minnesota. I don't know how much worse we can get with what's going on with our laws here. But I also tell people, don't ever underestimate the power of your prayers and sacrifices. And because St. Louis de Montfort was calling on the poor, the ones that weren't esteemed. And so the more we are doing for our Lord and keeping our eyes on God, the more the river of grace is going to be flowing. And we don't know what God is doing with that grace. And so we can be making changes. But I do think that we're in very serious times. I don't deny that. I mean, we can't live in fear, but we have to be ready. And we don't know what's coming, but, if we're going to be the true disciples that God is forming by His Holy Mother, and we're going to become those great saints, one of the things He promises is the great victories that we're going to bring about, and much glory to God. We're going to have power over our enemies just because we're going to be living in holiness, and God's going to use that. So, yeah, I'm concerned about and I have my son who's in the military. They're concerned too about things flaring up in the Middle East. So it could spark very quickly, a third world war.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I don't think it was coincidence that Pope Francis, right after this invasion, does a Marian consecration, right? Trusting, and he mentioned Russia in that consecration. I know there was a lot of controversy over John Paul's 1984 consecration, because he consecrated the world, which of course includes Russia, and Sister Lucia said it was accepted. But boy, what are we seeing, and what does the Holy Father know, and how critical is Our Lady at this time? She has said in some of her reported apparitions that this is a time of prayer, that we have to pray that God has allowed her to come to us. It's a time of grace in that we have to respond. But Barb, I wonder how many of us are truly responding. I look around and I see what's happening in this country alone, not only the rest of the world, but I don't know what needs to be done. I know you're a huge devotee of First Saturdays and also the power of the rosary. And I would encourage people to pray the rosary with Father Rocky here every evening. Maybe you could speak to those two spiritual weapons and how critical they are, perhaps, in holding back God's justice, mitigating so many of these very complex, issues that are now in movement in the world.
Well, I think it's wonderful when people come together to pray, like with Father Rocky and what we do at the Shrine of the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey. We have a Tuesday night prayer cell from the shrine, and people gather and they're online and they're joining with us, and because people need to feel like they're part of a community, especially if you're living alone, or you might be elderly and can't get out as much. I mean, and praying, I'm seeing a lot more churches having rosaries before or after Mass. I mean, there just seems to be a sense of we've got to do something. And I God bless all the people who are responding. May we be the remnant that turns back the wrath of God. And the more that we keep focused on God and make Him our priority, and we have to look at, there are great conversions going on. Look at, I heard Candace Owen is becoming Catholic. So there's these big conversions that happen. Look at Mark Wahlberg and things that are happening in Hollywood. And so we know that there are some big conversions happening. We all want to see them in our own family. And that's why, you know, with the Eucharistic Revival, one of our initiatives during this time is to bring the National Pilgrim Virgin Statue across the country from Connecticut to Lucas Oil Stadium, processing ahead of the walking pilgrimage. And what we're asking everybody to do is send in the names of all those you are praying back to the church. Give us, you know, first name. We don't need their last name. Just send in your names and let's all pray together as we're going across the country. And all along the way, we're going to be stopping at these churches and as a parish doing Eucharistic reparation. We have to be down on our knees doing Eucharistic reparation. And so together as a country, we're going to come together and pray for these people. And then when we get to Lucas Oil Stadium, we'll continue to pray. And we're imploring the intercession of our Blessed Mother. We need conversions in this country. We need conversions everywhere. That's the biggest blockade to peace right now, is there people need to convert, because otherwise they're on the edge of civil war, even in this anger and hatred that's always simmering right underneath the surface.
Well, Barb, hold the thought. I'm going to take a short pause. When we come back, we can take a few calls for you. If you want to join us, the number's 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Great Feast of St. Louis de Montfort is coming up. He is known for total consecration to Mary, right? To Jesus through Mary. And if you have not done a consecration, Marian consecration, I'll tell you what, it will change your life. And if you want to testify to it, I'd love to hear from you. I know a lot of people have done this recently, thanks to Father Michael Gately's book, and a lot of other people have done, written some as well. But I'd love to hear, why did you consecrate yourself to Our Lady? And how has she helped bring you into a closer relationship with the Lord? Of course, we'll answer your calls and questions too. We'll talk a little Marian consecration and much more when I return. The number, 888-914-9149. We're back right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Connect with Drew on the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, today we'd like to thank Rosario, who's listening in New Mexico, for donating her 2014 Fiat 500. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
St. Louis de Montfort, who wrote the seminal work about Marian consecration called True Devotion to Mary, said that Marian consecration is the surest, easiest, and most perfect means to become a saint.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. Yeah, we're taking a look at St. Louis de Montfort today. His feast day is coming up. He's known for Marian devotion. Many a great saint has read his work and ultimately found, you know, just, great refuge in it. And they have sped down the path of holiness. I look at Mother Teresa. I take a look at St. Louis de Montfort, St. John Paul II, amongst others. And he also, in addition to talking about true devotion to Our Lady and Marian consecration, he prophesied the events that we are seeing today in our own time. And I think this is a truly profound topic. I want to talk a little bit about the prophecies of St. Louis de Montfort. You know, he was a tireless preacher, if you're not familiar with him, and a mystic. He hailed from the 18th century, and he saw a time of great turmoil. But, and here's the thing, this is the way God works. Not only did he see turmoil, but he saw a time of great spiritual renewal. And I think of our own day. You know, as evil rises, clearly there's a demonic spirit at work today. What happens? What the St. Paul tells us? Grace abounds all the more. And Louis de Montfort prophesied that towards the end of the world, the Most High God would raise up saints molded by the Virgin Mary to renew the face of the earth. And those individuals, seemingly insignificant in the eyes of the world, would be endowed with God's grace. They'd have it in abundance. It would be distributed by Our Lady herself. And imagine just for a moment a group of souls so burning with love for Christ and his church, despite everything around them, would achieve great glory and great victory for God. Are these the times in which we are living? That is the big question. And I'm joined today by Barb Ernster. She has been a great contributor to us over the years. She's an expert on Fatima, hails from the World Apostolate of Fatima and the Blue Army. You can check them out at BlueArmy.com. Great advocates of both the Rosary and First Saturday devotion. Barb, let's pick it up on this point. Louis de Montfort said that not only would there be great victories, but these saints would not only be warriors in the spiritual sense, but also builders, that the people who would construct, who would lay down foundations of the faith wherever they went, and their devotion to Our Lady would be absolute. Give me your sense of that. Where do you see us, and how do you see this playing out, and how do you see the times?
Well, I think we can all feel it. I mean, I don't know about about others that are working very hard for our Lord and our Lady, but, you know, you feel like you're constantly under spiritual attack. It just is relentless sometimes. And, you know, even when we're trying to do a show or we're trying to film something, you'll have the technology stuff that will happen. Everything is always, so we're always having to turn to Our Lady and say, ask her to, you know, come and get rid of this for us, because she is stronger than the devil. I mean, he cowers before her. This is our great mother in heaven. She's the woman clothed with the sun, with the 12 stars around her head and the moon under her feet. And she's been given great power by God. And she's the woman from Genesis who's going to crush the head of the serpent. And so in these times when it is so diabolical, everything around us looks diabolical. I mean, the things going on with this transgenderism and parents so willing to take this up, and you know, it's almost, you can't even wrap your head around some of the stuff that is accepted as normal and that we're supposed to accept. And I don't want to pick on somebody who's having those troubles, but I'm seeing it, you know, you can just see all kinds of things that just seem crazy to us. And then you think that our Blessed Mother wants to raise up this army of people, be formed by her. Who better to be formed than by her? Because Jesus himself, you know, she's the spouse of the Holy Spirit. And so she's gonna form us in her heart so we can become these true disciples. And what one of the things he says, that they would be poor and little in the world's esteem, but rich in God's grace. And Mary would give this grace abundantly. I think about little Saint Jacinta, who tells Lucia at 9 years old, tell everybody to ask God, you know, to ask the Immaculate Heart for graces that you need, that God has entrusted them to her. And she even says to ask for these graces, especially at First Saturdays, and, you know, that she wants to give us these graces. And little Jacinta had an extraordinary amount of grace. She probably reached one of the highest levels of true devotion to Jesus because of her willingness to take on so much sacrifice. And so she had a real high level understanding of that you can obtain grace through this Blessed Mother. How did she understand that? She never read St. Louis de Montfort. She was living this true devotion. And so she just had a great wisdom in her. She also talked about the fire that was in her heart, that she wished that everybody could feel the fire that was burning in her heart that made her love Jesus and Mary more and more. And St. Francisco felt that fire too. So they were burning with zeal for God, burning with this love that they, that nothing was going to stand in their way. And so Mary, you know, one of the things St. Louis said, that he would choose souls, they would be full of zeal and chosen to be matched against the enemies of God who shall rage on all sides. I feel as if rage is all around us. I mean, it's right on our college campuses these days and down the street. So we're sensing all this rage. And the more we can be at peace and pray, keep praying for peace, keep praying for God's abundant grace and mercy to come down and bring peace to some of these situations, you know, we should be doing that. And then also that they would be nourished by her spirit, sheltered under her protection, led by her light, illuminated by her, so that they would be fighting with one hand and building with another. Yeah. And together they would be driving out heretics and schismatics and idolaters and impieties. And with her, they would crush the head of the devil and cause Jesus Christ to triumph. That's what he says in his book, True Devotion. Wow. I mean, that's a powerful statement to say for all of us people out here who aren't very esteemed. We're little in the world, but that's what God wants to do with us.
I love it. I just love it. It's humbling to think about. Let's take a few calls for you. 888-914-9149. We'll start with Bob first. He's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Barb.
Hey.
I have spoken with both of you before about this dear friend of mine who I've been helping for a long time. Her name is Barbara Klechka.
Oh, yeah.
And her brother consecrated a device that he built to Our Lady under her title, Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And this device is the artificial heart blood pump. And that, Drew, you remember talking with Ms. Klechka a number of years ago.
Very much so, yeah.
And since then, we have been working with this is just one story from this past week that happened, and these things have been ongoing. But just for a number of the last few years, we have been developing a new image of the Holy Trinity. And we've been working with a great theologian by the name of Dr. Stephen A. Hipp, who is at the graduate school down at Christendom College, Notre Dame School of Theology at Christendom College. And the fun part about this is that I've been working with Dr. Hipp for a number of years, and just after this symposium on the Holy Trinity that was held 2 weeks ago, April 12, 13, and 14, we were having dinner together, Barbara Klechka and me and Stephen and his wife Daniela and their two kids. And their sons have a genetic disorder in their blood that has made them extraordinarily susceptible to infections and so forth. And they've been battling it for years and years and years. Their youngest son, who was at the table with us, his name is Ian. Mm-hmm. And we came to find out that the pump that Dr. Klechka invented, and that Barbara Klechka was the very first person on whom it was clinically applied to get the FDA approval, consecrated to Mary, was the very pump that saved this young man's life.
Wow.
Who we were sitting at the table with.
Wow.
And he heard the story, and he, you should have seen how moved he was. And the father, who's been helping this project along for a number of years, looks over at his son, who was saved by this very thing. And we were all just in awe of God's goodness.
How beautiful.
Hi, Bob. I know who you are, and I know Barbara Klechka.
Hi, Barb.
It's a beautiful example of how Mary, how God can work in us, and how what Mary wants to do to bring all of this grace to the healthcare industry. God can heal us, and he knows the pathway to that. All you people that work in healthcare, you know, ask if you're consecrated to Mary, she's going to lead you and help you and help us all make an impact. All of us, whatever we're doing in our jobs, we all have a role to play in this. And this is a beautiful example of what this consecration to Mary and what she wants to do for us.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, thank
isn't it
you.
Cool that it was? Yeah, I was just going to say that it's so cool that it was through natural means that this was done, but supernatural help and guidance that brought these things together. And there's been any number of other instances where timely, natural solutions have come through using this this device. But I thank you for this time.
Well, Bob, thank you for calling.
I'll share the image with you.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. Thank you for sharing that. And I was, as he was talking, Barbara, I'm thinking, how beautiful to dedicate your apostolate, the works that you're working on, your book, your project, to Our Lady, consecrated to her for the greater glory of God, and watch how she'll intercede for you as well. Let me take a quick call from Chicago. Ken is listening to us there. Ken, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hey, Ken.
Quick question. I really like your guys' topic.
Thanks.
You guys are discussing good stuff. I like it.
Thank you.
However, I'm a little confused on the praying to Mary, because I've read the Bible and listened to the Bible multiple times, and I've never seen it ever worded to pray to Mary. And I have Catholic friends, and I've discussed it with them, and I still don't understand it.
We'll give you a couple quick talking points here. I mean, you can look for the word Trinity in the Bible. You won't find that either, but I'm sure you believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Barbara, I'll let you respond, too, but a couple quick things here. We'll take a break, and we can pick it up on the other side, too. You know, why pray to our Blessed Mother? Well, the Catholic Church teaches that, you know, true devotion to Our Lady lead you to her son, Jesus. And that's what Our Lady's role is all about. You know, it's ultimately Christocentric. You know, Marian devotion will never take you away from Jesus, but it'll rather enhance your understanding and your love for him. And if you go to scripture, you know, the New Testament particularly, you could see the role of her intercession. What happened in John 2, right? In the very beginning of that passage, it was the wedding feast of Cana where Mary interceded on behalf of the bride and the groom who ran out of wine. How humiliating. And what does she do? She does, you know, she goes to the stewards, tells them to do whatever he tells them to do. She intercedes on behalf of the bride and the groom. And Jesus was like, hey, mom, what are you doing? It's not my time yet, right? But what does he do? Even though it wasn't his time, he says, he performs his first public miracles. So we believe as Catholics that just as Mary interceded then, she intercedes for us today in heaven. So if you ask for her intercession, it's not bypassing Jesus, but it's seeking additional prayers from his mother, whom we honor. I think of it like as a teenage boy. I'm 17. I want to take my girlfriend out. I don't have a car. Got to borrow my dad's car. I know he's going to say no because I never filled up with gas or whatever, right? I go to my mom. Hey, mom, come on. I want to take so-and-so out. Can you ask dad for me? Next thing you know, my mom's getting me the keys, right? And I'm out on that date. That's how it works in the spiritual dynamic, too. Our Lady is our spiritual mother. You know, at the Annunciation, when the angel appeared to her, you know, she could have said no, but she said yes. She was willing to participate in salvation history. And then on the cross, what did our Lord say when he hung on Calvary? He said to her, to John, he says, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. We became her spiritual children at that moment. Christ made her our spiritual mother. And across the centuries, and Barb can testify to this, she's been interceding for us. And we see that in famous apparitions like in Fatima. Barb, do you want to pick it up? I know we've got to take a quick break here, but I'll let you respond as well.
Well, St. Louis de Montfort addresses this as one of the signs of almost like a false devotion, where you're so scrupulous that you're so worried that if I pray to Mary, I'm ignoring Jesus. Well, we're not praying to her in the way that we worship her. We don't give her glory. We venerate her and we go to her because she was a human being like us, and she understands our humanity, so we ask her to pray for us. And she, in the Old Testament, she would be like the Queen Mother who was able to go to the king and didn't need permission, the king who was her son. And she didn't need permission. She could go to the king at any time and ask for things, and it would be granted to her. But the other thing, St. Louis de Montfort says, we never give more honor to Jesus than when we honor his mother. Yeah. And we honor her simply and solely to honor him all the more perfectly. And then he also points out it was the Holy Spirit who first blesses Our Lady, then Jesus, when he says, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Amen.
And so you know, the Holy Spirit and the church itself blesses Mary first and then Jesus. Now, I mean, it's a hard concept to understand, but Jesus wants us to honor and love his mother.
And I also love what you said. I have to take a break here. Well, we can pick it up on the other side. The church's doctrine of the communion of saints teaches us we're all part of one body connected by Christ, right? In Christ. And that includes those of us on earth, those of you know, those who've gone before us in heaven. So asking saints like our Blessed Mother for their intercession is based on that belief that the body of Christ is a living, interceding community united in prayer across all these boundaries, both of heaven and earth. So I turn to Our Lady. I'll tell you what, she will speed you into the arms of her son. I need to take a short pause. We will be back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you have real estate or land that you no longer need, well, consider the advantages of donating it to Relevant Radio. The process is easy, and the tax advantages can be huge. Learn more at relevantradio.com/property.
In True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort writes that many make their act of consecration to the Blessed Virgin, but stop at the exterior. Only a few truly enter into the interior reality of consecration to the Blessed Virgin, which implies that we do everything through Mary, in Mary, with Mary, and for Mary.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us today. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about true devotion to to Our Lady, Marian devotion, Marian consecration, all of this ultimately leading us to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. Barbara Ernster is here today. She's communication director for the World Apostolate of Fatima and the Blue Army. You can find them at bluearmy.com. And, you know, Barbara, I know you and I were talking during the break, and there's so many areas we could talk about today, where we live, consecration, global consecration, personal consecration. One other thing that we did not hit on in depth, I thought maybe you could just highlight the five marks of true devotion and the five mistakes of false devotion. You want to unpack those?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about the five marks of true devotion, which is it's mm-hmm. interior. It comes from our heart. Right. It comes from our high esteem we've formed for Mary. It's tender, full of confidence in her, confidence that we have recourse to her in all of our bodily and mental necessities.
Right.
It's holy. It leads us to avoid sin. We take on the virtues. We're becoming holy by becoming more virtuous. And it's constant. It confirms our soul in good, does not let us easily abandon the path. It keeps us on the path to God. And then it's also disinterested, meaning that, you know, we are not interested in what Mary's doing in our souls or what she's giving us in our devotion. We're just doing this out of love for God and letting Mary and Jesus determine what they're going to do with this grace.
Right.
But some of the ways in which we can have a false devotion, we always have to be careful of these things because we can slip into these. We can slip in and out of this stuff. One of them is it could be superficial. You know, the people whose entire devotion is all exterior practices, but on the inside, they're dead man's bones. I mean, Jesus warned the Pharisees about this. You say your many rosaries, you go to mass distractedly, you're participating in confraternities and processions and doing all these, devotions, but inside we're not really forming our hearts in God. We're inside. There's a lot of self-love and pride and vanity and things that are going on that we're not working on. So we're not really looking at ourselves. We can become lukewarm in that way. And then there's the presumptuous devotion where, you know, we are presuming that while we've done this consecration, I go to mass every Sunday, I'm going to be just fine. But underneath there might be some real serious sins. And I always like to say our Protestant brothers and sisters too believe that if they just accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that's all they have to do. But it's the same kind of presumption. We have to work out our salvation.
No kidding. Well, let me do this. We have a couple of minutes. We'll grab a few calls. Mike is in South Florida. Mike, thanks for dialing in. Good afternoon.
Yes. Hi, and good afternoon. I just want to say I'm a convert that converted in my 60s from the Protestant faith to the Catholic faith. And I really think that for this fellow who had a difficulty with Mary, it all lies in our understanding, our faith, and our mm-hmm. belief that Jesus has the power and the ability to come down and present himself in the bread and wine, just as he said and told us, that his power is there, and we need to have the faith in that and trust in him. He is the creator of all, and he's capable of all. And so I took that step in faith, and what I learned after that in taking the Eucharist was, of course, great peace. But I also found that his mother was involved in that she brought him into this world. She was willing to do that. And the result is I started to feel more importantly her presence and that I could call out to her, ask for assistance. And it is a reverence, it's a revering, but it is not, treating Mary as if she is God. She never was and she never will be, but
Amen.
She's a mother of Jesus Christ. She's a mother of God. And what a great thing that you have this family. I really feel like I'm part of this huge, huge spiritual family.
I love it.
That God has awakened me to, So,
Mike.
Pray for that man that he will start to have the faith in Jesus Christ and what Jesus said he would do for us. Well, and that'll take him where he needs to be.
Do me a favor. You pray for him, all right? You pray for his conversion, and congratulations. Welcome to the Catholic Church. Such a beautiful testimony. I'm so grateful for your call. I only have about a minute or two left. Let me go to Iowa. Jerry is joining us from there. I'm going to give him the final thoughts here on the show. Jerry, good afternoon.
Drew, well, my name is actually Jeff Fortenberry from the neighboring state of Nebraska.
Congressman, good to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Your aide, Maggie, was kind enough to tell me that you were celebrating today. And I'm sorry I missed the context of the larger program, but I understand it's in the Blessed Virgin Mary. But thank you so much for all that you do for the faith, for the word, to heal people's souls, your friendship to me. Yeah. You're an extraordinary professional. You're a man dedicated to faith, but you're also dedicated to the mission. It's time to take action, and you're doing it, and you're just an inspiration to me. So thank you so much.
Well, I can say the same thing for you, Congressman. I'm so grateful to have you here, and it's great to have men like you. I can't wait till you run for office again, because we need good, well-formed men, like I always say. My thanks to Congressman Jeff Fortenberry for his kind words. Say a prayer for him. My thanks to Barb Ernster from the World of Apostolate of Fatima, and my thanks to you for allowing me to spend some time with you this afternoon. I'm out of time. Until our paths again cross. I promise you my prayers. Say a prayer for me. Have a great afternoon. God bless you.